Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Gerresheimer Group discussion on audited IFRS financial results on full year 2017 on 5th of March 2018. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask a question. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future financial performance of Gerresheimer Group. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intend, will, could, may, or might. The negative of such terms or similar expressions. We wish to caution you that their statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update their statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after today's date to reflect or the occurrence of anticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, the turning economic and credit conditions, our competitive environment, risk associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market change in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically related to this Gerresheimer Group and its operation. I will now hand you over to our speakers. Please go ahead.
Hello, my name is Vladimir Cherakov. I am CEO of the company Gerresheimer. At first, let me introduce my colleagues. Sergey Levitsky is head of IR department, and Anna Garmanova, head of financial department. So our team will do small presentation about our company, the results of our company. I will start, and my colleagues will continue our presentation. So let me start from slide number 3. Some words about our results during the last year. So here are some statements about our financial results. You could see on the slide number 3. Our company continued to open new stores. You see that as a result of 2017, we opened more than 100 stores. We exceed the plan which we had in the beginning of 2017, and I hope that this year we have a similar situation. Our forecast for 2018 is just to open just 17 new stores, but I hope that we could exceed this plan by the end of the year. About growth of our revenue, I want to underline that, of course, our like-for-like in 2017 was less than before, but in any case, our like-for-like 7.2% was the highest among all public companies, public retailers, I mean, in Russia. And the total growth of our company, revenue growth, I mean, was about 22%. This year we hope to continue positive, to keep positive like-for-like, and we're sure that we will provide this result by the end of the year. Some words about profitability. So adjusted EBITDA growth in 2017 was about 30%. We even increase in percentage our profitability, EBITDA profitability, EBITDA margin. It was about 11%, and the net income growth in 2017 was about 44%. Quite good results, I think. We continue to generate cash. We are going to recommend to the board to pay 100% of our net profit as a dividend to our shareholders. So we keep quite high cash conversion, 77%. We don't need cash for continue our growth, so we can open about 100 stores per year, at the same time to pay as dividends 100% of our net profit, and I assure that we will continue to do it. And some words about our online business. You could see that online business is growing quite well. Growth was 67% last year. You know that growth of children goods market in online channel was less than 25%, so we showed quite good growth. We are number one player online also, so I'm satisfied with this result of our company. Let's move to the next slide. I describe some business initiatives which we did in 2017. Most of them we will continue in 2018. So what we did, what we are going to continue, we were focused on our private labels, and the share of private labels increased dramatically in some categories like toys. You know, number of players is decreasing in Russian market. Number of distributors is decreasing also. I think that's why we two, three years ago we started with business. Business is growing quite well. So we increased share of private labels in total sales from 25% to 27%, and at the same time we increased direct import. You know, we started to import goods directly from suppliers from abroad, and in this case we reduced cost of distributor, profit of distributor. This fact helped us to provide best prices in the market and attract people from our competitors to our stores. And some words about focus of our online strategy. You know, last year we were focused on click and collect function for our customers. We started this project last year. We will continue this year. So the goal, for example, for this year for our company is to provide not less than 90% service level for 1 hour for customers who put order through online channel. So how it works? If you put your order through online and want to get your order in one of our stores, the first thing, it will be free of charge, so it you shouldn't pay for delivery at all. The second thing is that you will get your order with probability 90% in 1 hour in the store which is closer to you. So this service, our customers like this service. We see how this channel is growing in our company. So we will be focused to increase the service level for our customers during 2018 also. Last year we already started finished implementation of new basket. Our expectation was to increase at least at 5% sales using new basket. We achieved this target even more. Our growth using new basket was about 10%, maybe even higher. So last year we finished implementation of new basket. This year we will continue to improve our user experience for customers who is using our online store. Let's move to the next slide. slide number 5. Some words about our performance, some top line figures. So you could see how our revenue was growing. We finished the year Q4 with a growth about 20%. We keep quite high like-for-like. We kept during whole year 2017 quite high like-for-like, best like-for-like in the market, I think. At the same time, inflation went down, dropped down quite dramatically. Nowadays, inflation doesn't influence on our growth in rubles, I mean. At the same time, real disposable income are negative, so they are going down. And the children goods market nowadays is not growing, it's stable, but any case, it, in this environment, not good environment, I think, we provide good growth and good profitability. So thank you. My colleague, Anna Garmanova, will continue our presentation with the slide number 6.
Okay, colleague, let's move to the slide number 6 and some words about our financial results. First of all, let's discuss the dynamic of our revenue. As you can see at the left part of the slide, the growth of our revenue in the last year was about 22%. You know that we continue to focus our strategy on traffic. Due to it, we keep a high level of like-for-like in the both period, I mean Q4 and the full last year, on the level 7.2%. And as Vladimir has mentioned before, we were the leader of the market by the like-for-like growth, including a double-digit like-for-like number of the ticket. What else? In the last year, we achieved optimal product mix. Due to it and high level of like-for-like growth, we kept the growth of gross profit per square meter. As you can see at the bottom right part of the slide, our gross profit per square meter is growing up. For us, it's a very good result, and in total, we're very satisfied that the both of our financial decades, I mean the like-for-like and gross profit per square meter, is growing up. Let's move to the next slide, page number 7. In part of our profitability, we kept our strategy to reduce our SG&A cost, and as you can see at the left top part of the slide, we reduce our SG&A cost. First of all, we reduce our rent cost by 50 bps off as a share of revenue, and also we successfully reduce the average headcount per store by further 10%. As a result, despite some increasing in our advertising and marketing cost, which was consequences of our promo on the market, the growth of our SG&A cost was the lowest than the growth of our revenue. That's why we reach a double-digit EBITDA margin on the historical level, 11%. In 2016, our EBITDA margin was 10.3%. In the last year, it was 11%, and we are very satisfied with such results. Let's move to the next slide, page number 8. Some words about our cash conversion. As you can see, our cash conversions remain stable at very high levels, between 75% and 80%, despite on store rollout. Our investment in networking capital are also relatively low. That's why about 70% of our adjusted EBITDA transformed in operating cash flow, and about 40% transformed into free cash flow. I would like to pay your attention that in the last year we spent about 2.5 billion rubles as a capex, including 1.2 billion rubles for opening new stores. And also we pay about 440 million rubles as a buyout of building for our own store in Moscow, and also we spent about 260 million rubles for SAP license, which we bought for the future 3 years. Let's move to the next slide, some words about return to our shareholders. As Vladimir has mentioned before, historically we paid 100% of all our net profit as a dividend. According with our dividend policy, we need to pay at least 50% of our IFRS net profit as a dividend, but we think that we continue practice to pay a lot more, and you know that we will recommend to our board of directors to pay all our net profit for the Q4 of the last year as a dividend in the middle of this year. And also you can see that our dividend payment is one of our advantages compared with the other participants of the market. If you divide average Детский мир share price for the last year by the dividend per share, you will get to almost 7% implied dividend yield. And we think that it's a very high level of dividend payment. Let's move to the next slide, page number 10, some words about our debt. We are very satisfied our level of leverage. Despite on opening 104 new stores and dividend payment, we decreased our leverage from 1.4 time in 2016 to 1 time in the last year. And also we decreased the cost of our debt for more than 2%. Now the current rate is about 10%, and we see additional opportunity to continue to decrease the cost of our debt. Let's move to the next slide. It's the last slide of our presentation, some words about our guidance. We would like to tell that we change only two our guidance compared with our promises which we had during IPO. First of all, I would like to remind you that during IPO we promised to open at least 17 new stores during the last year. But we have opened more stores. As Vladimir has mentioned before, we opened 104 new stores, and now we increase our guidance for the opening for the nearest 4 years. And the other change in our guidance is our like-for-like. We promised to have double-digit like-for-like, but unfortunately, negative macro and part of decreasing birth rate and low inflation didn't allow us to keep such high level of like-for-like. But we are very satisfied our like-for-like in size of 7.2%. We are the lead of the market, and our guidance for the next period to keep single-digit like-for-like and to be outperforming the market. That's all. We are ready to answer to your question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now start our question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Our first question from Alexandra Melnikova, Alpha Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for the presentation. Can you please explain us maybe the difference between your initial guidance on profitability, which you give when you publish operating results in January, I think it was, and the actual numbers on EBITDA, which you reported today, and congratulations on strong results. We're happy to see a high number on EBITDA level. But if you can give us a clue where the difference comes from, it will be useful. Thank you.
Uh, Thank you for your questions. You know, when we published our parental results, we hadn't got our financial results confirmed by audit, so we was very conservative, and that's why our promises in part of our EBITDA margin and growth of EBITDA was a conservative. Now it's our final figures, and we are also very satisfied with such results.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question from Nadim Kramule, Erste Group. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have a couple of questions, if I may. Can you somehow guide us what would be the total number of stores that you can imagine that you can add in the Russian market? That would be my first question.
Yeah, okay. As Anna and Vladimir mentioned before, that we changed our guidance, so our current guidance is to open at least 250 stores in midterm. I mean that it's the next 4 years, from 2018 to 2021. 4 years, 250 stores, and this is a very conservative scenario. And when we are talking about these numbers, we mean that these stores will be opened under the internal rate of return at least 40%. In addition, now we are analyzing some additional potential, I mean mini, super mini formats. This is the stores with the selling spaces about 400-500 square meters. This format works in the cities with population less than 50,000 inhabitants and some sleeping areas of the largest cities. And we have already launched some pilot projects at the end of 2017, and we need to sample data for the full year, and then we will be ready to make a decision to launch to roll out this this format. So,
okay. Do you see any cannibalization already with new stores? And how long does it take you to ramp up the store to, let's say, satisfactory sales figures?
Yes, we see cannibalization. In some cases, we see cannibalization about minus 30% like-for-like for old stores. If we open new stores near our old stores, but in any case, we think that this is a good decision because at the same time we are increasing our market share. We are eating share of our competitors, and we open only profitable stores. We keep only profitable stores. We see cannibalization, yes, but we will continue to open new stores.
So, and the time for you to decide if the store is profitable, do you give it like, I don't know, 18 months or 2 years for the store to kind of ramp up to the optimal sales levels?
You know, when we decide, for example, to open new stores in the regions when we have already have stores, of course we evaluate cannibalization, and the main indicator when we focus on it's the NPV of the two stores should be higher than the NPV of the one current stores which have already located in this region.
I just want to add some words. You know, of course, we see cannibalization in some cases when we open new stores, especially if we open stores in the cities where we are already present. But any case, our total like-for-like is quite high. Even more, it's the highest among public companies. So during cannibalization, we can provide high like-for-like.
Mm-hmm. And let's say the full, because I'm just trying to figure out when you open a new store, maybe in a new location where the store is not open. So how long does it take you to get to the optimal size levels?
If we take our guidance as 250 stores, so at least 120 cities we have in our pipeline, and these cities it's suit for us that we don't have any our stores in these cities, and there are no any stores of our direct competitors, like specialized stores. So it's about more than 100 cities like this, with population at least 50,000 inhabitants, I mean.
Yes, sir. Maybe I'm not really precise in my question, but after how long do you see EBITDA break even when you open a store? Half a year or a year or?
You would like to know dynamics of break even EBITDA or our standard level?
How long does it take for your store to break even?
Yeah, about 6 months.
Okay. Maybe just two questions, last questions. Any comments to the sale of the stake in the company by your major shareholder? I mean, any timeline for that, or when this should be done, and under which scenario? And second question would be, can you remind me the main KPIs for the management of the company?
Sorry, can you repeat the first question, because it's not so clear?
The timeline, because I was reading that your majority shareholder is planning to sell additional stake in the company. Do you have any timeline for that, when this should happen, the sale of the stake? And will it be like to some strategy investor or open market sale? And the second question was the management KPIs, the main KPIs that you have. Thank you.
I will start from KPIs. Of course, all of our managers have KPIs, not only for 2018 year, but KPIs till 2020. Because all of our top managers have LTI program. So all KPIs are established, and all of our managers have such kind of KPIs.
What are they focused on? I mean, what is it, profitability or share price, KPIs?
They are focused on growth of our EBITDA, growth of our capitalization, and revenue, of course. There are three most important KPIs.
Okay.
Growth of the company and profitability, of course. Even more, without achieving KPI goal for EBITDA, nobody will get their bonuses at all. So the most important KPI is EBITDA growth. About second question, about plan of our main shareholder Sistema, you know, honestly, it's better to ask people from Sistema side, because we are focused on our growth of our company, in our operational efficiency, and Sistema events with Sistema doesn't influence on us at all.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question from Victoria Vektova, Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Congratulations on good results and on some surprise on profitability side, of course. I will have two questions on revenue dynamics, one on costs and one on dividends. When you are providing guidance for 2018, talking about like single-digit like-for-like, and in general, when you talk about your revenues for 2018, do you expect consumer and inflation to be a mirror image of 2017, with first and second quarter being weak and then recovering in the third and fourth? And if not, also it would be very interesting to understand what your basic expectations are. Do you share Rostat's view on rebound in birth rates in 2018 versus 2017, or you expect further contraction? And also talking about revenue, do you see anyone creating additional competition for you online? We know you are growing your online market share, and it looks very impressive, but still, is there anyone else who is increasing its market share in your markets? That's on revenues.
You know, when we see about our positive like-for-like growth of our revenue, growth of number of stores, we suppose that the environment will be similar to 2017. I mean that we will continue to live in conditions when inflation is quite low, about 3-4%, with negative disposable income, with negative number of new babies of birth rate. So we suppose that the same quite negative environment we will provide positive like-for-like, we will increase number of stores and revenue. And of course, we will provide growth of EBITDA. About the second part of the question, who is growing online? Also, I want to mention two companies, Alibaba, but you know they are quite close, and we don't have a figure about their growth. But in any case, last year we compete, we work at the same market, and we see that we can provide quite aggressive growth in such kind of conditions. And the second player who is growing quite well, I know, it's Ozon company. Because I'm a member of a board of Ozon, yeah.
Thank you very much. When you talk about profitability, you, as always, mention personnel expenses and rent savings. That would be your key driver for sustainability of double-digit EBITDA margin, to understand it correctly. Or is there anything else? Do you see any potential growth?
Yes, you're absolutely right. The main drivers of optimizations of G&A cost is rent and payroll.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And my last question is related to Russian accounting standards net income, which is to be released in the end of March, if I understand it correctly. We had a different dynamics between IFRS net income and RAS net income so far this year. Should we expect sort of a flattish overall year-over-year performance between RAS result in 2017 and 18, or should we extrapolate the growth demonstrated in IFRS reported net income to our RAS figures? What is the right way to look at it?
You know, unfortunately, I can discuss our results for the full year, I mean the RAS statement, because we didn't publish these figures. But when we were told that we were going to recommend our board of directors to pay all our net profit for the Q4 by RAS statement as a dividend, we're sure that our dividend payment for the Q4 will be higher than 1 year ago.
For Q4 will be higher than 1 year ago. Got it. So
that I mean the last statement. Yes.
Higher, but Q4 will be higher. Got it. Thank you very much. That's it from me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Our next question from Nikolai Kovalov, VTB. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I have also a couple of questions. The first one is on your offline business. You basically grew over 20% on flattish market, and I was wondering if you can comment more on who suffers the most in the segment, and how does your regional competition do, like chain that a number of times smaller than you but still sizable for your segment?
Based on the Ipsos Comcon data, except of the increase the total market share, we can say that we managed to increase the market share in all our categories, like toys, newborns, etc. Of course, we would like to point out that we were managed to accelerate the growth in toys, in spite of the decline in birth rates. We managed to offset this fact by taking the additional traffic from our competitors. You can find the information about our market share in diapers and baby food on the slide number 14. And you can see that we managed to increase our market share. At the same time, the market share of other channels decreased. So overall, we really improved our market position in all categories, so we're happy with this.
Would it be fair to assume that your key regional competitors are losing revenues like at double-digit negative like-for-like, or they're feeling better?
Sorry, can you repeat the question, because we have...
My question basically, you know, I was just trying to get a sense of if you speak about your key regional competitors, at what extent and how rapidly they are losing revenues, if you have any understanding and can somehow comment on that.
You know, we have some signals, not official information about struggling of our competitors, I think that this year there is a quite high probability to see a bankruptcy of some of them. I know that Dochki Snochki are growing more or less okay, but our players are struggling a lot.
Okay, that's helpful. And also a quick question, if you have already understanding of your 2018 capital expenditures, that would be also very helpful for modeling from our side.
You know, it's worth saying that we have some one-off capital expenditures. That is the payment in advance for the buyout of the building for our own store Vernatka, which capex amounted to about 400 million rubles, and we, as you remember, we spent about 200 million rubles for prolongation of license for CAP. So overall, we would like to say that we spent about 1 billion rubles for new openings. That is lower than we guided in terms of our budget, as 13 million rubles per store. But relatively, as we see that the capital expenditures as of sales are relatively the same as we had in 2016, in our view.
Mm-hmm. And what's your capex expectation for 2018?
You know that we think that our capex in this year will be about 2 billion rubles, maybe a little bit more or maybe a little bit less. It depends on, for example, from our investment in our new warehouse in Ural region, but we think that it will be about 2 billion rubles.
Okay, very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Our next question from Marat Ibrahimov, BKS. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. I have a very short question on your pricing strategy. You, through last year, you've been reducing actively your prices on shelves in ruble terms, thanks in large to stronger ruble. But in fourth quarter, it looks like your price investments have intensified because your gross margin decline was higher in fourth quarter than in the first 9 months. Can you please speak more about that? What's your price strategy on that, and how competition were acting through last year? Obviously, Alibaba was reducing ruble prices in line with ruble-dollar exchange rate, but what about others? Thank you very much.
You know, about some words about our price strategy. Our goal is to provide double-digit EBITDA. All our money we can invest in prices, in promo campaign, to attract more people. So last year we saw that we already have quite a good like-for-like. We made a decision not to invest more into prices and increase in percentage our EBITDA. That's why our EBITDA in percentage even increased. And at the same time, we provided quite good like-for-like in 2017. So our goal is to keep double-digit EBITDA, and the rest we can invest into prices.
Marat, your question was answered?
Yes.
Thank you. Our next question from Maria Perez-Neal, Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking the questions. A couple from me, if I may. Firstly, just continuing on the subject of the gross margin and the EBITDA margin. Over the last 3 years, we've seen a lot of optimization at the SG&A level, offsetting some of the pressure at the gross margin level. But obviously, the savings and rent and personal costs are not indefinite. So I just wanted to see how much scope do you see for further savings at the SG&A level, and how do you expect the gross margin dynamic that we've seen in 2017 kind of continue in 2018? That's the first question. And the second question will be more philosophical one. When we think about your total market share, we see that it's approaching sort of 20% of the children's goods retail market. Some would argue that it's probably not far off of a natural saturation point. So how do you think about further market share gains, and what do you think is sort of potential market share that you could achieve in Russia? Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. You're absolutely right that during the last 3 years, our gross margin is slightly decreasing. But I would like to put your attention to the two factors. One of it is that in the last year, our gross margin wasn't the same level as 1 year ago. But for us, it's not very important. Why? Because, as Vladimir has mentioned before, for us, the main guidance for us is keep double double-digit EBITDA margin. Now we see additional opportunity to continue to reduce our G&A cost. Why? Because you know that the growth of our revenue, average growth, is more than 20%. And it's more higher than the growth of our rent or other costs. That's why we think that in the future we continue to reduce our G&A cost as a share of revenue. And it allowed us to invest in our gross margin. And we suppose that in this year our gross margin will able to decrease by 1%, maybe. But it will depend on the market situations and from the behavior of our competitors.
In terms of the second questions, you know, as you see on our result of 2017, in terms of the data by Nielsen and overall data by Comcast in a way, that we managed to generate traffic from all channels. So we succeeded in competing with all channels, with hypermarkets, with the e-commerce and specialized stores. And in terms of the some potential level of our markets, we don't have any restrictions, and it will depend on the market conditions, on the situations with our competitors. But once again, that we don't have any restrictions, including some regulations. So nothing can stop our growth.
Okay, thank you. Very helpful. And just in the context of no restrictions, market share perspective, do you see more scope for M&A in the next couple of years, given the deteriorating state of your competitors, and how much of your growth could it potentially count for?
You know, of course, we in terms of the 2017, of course, we constantly are in the process of evaluating many options, including the M&A and the M&A of other competitors. But now we see that the best approach to wait and wait till our competitors go to bankruptcy and take their best locations, take their traffic. But if I'm talking about this, now we don't have any precise decisions, precise offers from other counterparties in terms of M&A. And, of course, we are open to discuss any options, but no, we can't say any some precise offers in these terms.
Okay, thank you. And just one final question on the like-for-likes. Do you see, I appreciate you flagging a number of pressure points, do you also see any pressure on your like-for-likes from hypermarkets and supermarkets? I'm talking about modern food retail.
You know, of course, we compete with hypermarkets, we compete with supermarkets, we compete with other players. In this meaning, we feel competition with hypermarkets, of course, but I cannot say that hypermarkets are much stronger or they do much stronger pressure than other channels. Even more, if we look at results of hypermarkets in selling children goods, so they are losing their market share during the last some years.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Artur Galimov, Sal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks so much for the call, and once again, congratulations on strong numbers. First of all, just wanted to clarify your comment about gross margin. When answering the previous question, did I get you right that you would expect gross margin to decrease by 1 percentage point this year versus 2017, or there's just something wrong I got?
as Anna mentioned, that it depends on the market conditions and it depends on our necessity to invest in prices. But our main KPI is a double-digit EBITDA margin at least, yes, and we will focus on this indicator when we make a decision in terms of the further investing in prices. So we would not to focus you on the gross margin at all. We would like to focus on you on EBITDA margin as the final KPI for the whole company.
Right, right. The reason why I'm asking is just because I'm looking at your guidance and it says that basically middle to long-term outlook for gross margin is stable. So just wanted to understand the sources for this set of inconsistencies. Okay. The second question, could you please provide us some update on recent trading trends you saw in the first 2 months of the year? Just trying to get a sense of how sales momentum changed and probably didn't change versus the previous couple of quarters in terms of revenue growth and like-for-like.
You know, we don't see any significant changes in the trend which we got in Q4. Now we are focused on our general guidance on the full year as the single digit like-for-like, and most importantly that we are aware that we will outperform the market growth, and maybe we should wait Q1 and then we'll see operating results in April.
Right, and would it be also correct to assume that there are no major changes in terms of sales mix across different categories?
Sorry, can you repeat because it's so low?
Is it also right to assume that there are no significant changes in the sales mix in your revenue structure across different categories versus Q4 and Q3 last year?
You know, we think that we have already achieved some optimal level of product mix and we don't expect any significant changes.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have no other questions. Dear speakers, continue with any further points you wish to raise.
So we would like to thank everyone for joining this call today. If anyone has any follow-up questions, please don't hesitate and get in touch with us. Thank you, everyone, and have a good evening. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participating. You may now disconnect.